Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, all. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin coming to you live from the studios of Waves of Glory. What a magnificent day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm excited this morning. I'm stirred in my spirit. I'm giving God the glory, the praise, and the honor. I just wanted to come on today to just share with the people of God that which God is ministering in my spirit in this season. The word of the Lord is coming to the children of God, to the house of God. And so this particular word this morning is specifically for the people of God. You know, sometimes we preach the word and we bring messages or sermons that can be for anyone. But today I want to focus on kingdom citizens, for we know that we are the children of God, that our God is the great king, and that we are citizens of the greatest kingdom there is. Our subject matter today, and that which my title is, the 800-pound gorilla in the room. As Jesus was walking through the streets of Jerusalem and the area of Israel where he ministered, he had occasion to say to some people, "We strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." My mother used to say that to us when we were children, "Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." And because I was the type of child who would ponder stuff in my mind and think it over and over and over until I could come up to what it really meant, it stuck with me over these many years. And I just had a wonderful birthday yesterday, and so it's been with me at least 50 years, maybe even more than that. But I can remember her saying, "You strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." And this caused me to deliberate on that particular comment. Now, this is how Jesus described our propensity to major in the minors of life and vice versa. Life in the kingdom of God is the exact opposite of life in the world. Down is up, over is under, under is over, high is low, and low is high. And so we have to, as the people of God, we've got to shift our thinking from that particular structure and mindset. You know, if you want to increase in God, you have to decrease. If you want to have more, you have to give more. If you would like to be elevated, then you have to lower yourself, abase your own self in your own eyes and in the eyes of those around you. So God has given us a mirror reflection of how life is supposed to operate in the kingdom of God. When we are walking the earth, we are challenged to change the culture of the world to kingdom culture. That's why the church is in the earth today, to change the culture of the world into kingdom culture. The reason I know this is that in the Word of God, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray the way that he prayed, excuse me, this morning, he gave them a prayer model. And in that prayer model, he calls them to acknowledge God as Father, and not just as Yahweh, and not just as Jehovah, but our Father. And then he said to them, "Then I want you to say, 'Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" Now, this is really our assignment today in the earth as the church of the living God, is to cause the will of God to be done in the earth the way that it is done in the heavens. And we sometimes become narrow-minded in the church because we think that the will of God is to be done just by those who name the name of Christ. But what we are doing, we are shifting the culture. That's our assignment. Yes, it will begin with those who are in Christ, but that kingdom culture is to spread to all of the inhabitants in the land. It is just the same as when Israel would conquer a country, a nation, and then if they allowed the citizens to live, those citizens would have to become saturated by the culture of Israel. They had to conform. So when Paul in the book of Romans is telling his citizens, excuse me, the people that are born again, the new church, the new converts, he's saying to them, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. He's saying, now you have to shift to a different culture. Your lifestyle has to change. The way you think has to change. The way you operate in life has to change. So you're going to have to shift from the way that you've been doing things into kingdom culture. Glory be to God. And then the Spirit of the Lord said to me this morning, we as the body of Christ have not dealt with the 800-pound gorilla in the room. In the church, we are happy. We are shouting. We are jumping. We are decreeing and we are declaring. We are receiving the blessing of the Lord. We are doing all these things. And we have about 3 billion Christians worldwide, according to experts, about 3 billion of us. And yet, there is an 800-pound gorilla in the room, and this gorilla is staring us in the face. The Bible says that judgment must first begin at the house of God. There's no use of us pointing fingers at people of the world who are doing what people of the world naturally do. There's no use of us pointing fingers and condemning them and telling them that they're going to hell and telling them that they're out of the will of God. And the church is still staring this gorilla in the face, pretending that he is not there. So today we're going to begin to address our gorilla in the room. Only then can we address the splinter in the eye of this world. Now, which gorilla? Because there's a few that we have. But the one gorilla that I want to talk about today is the problem of poverty in the kingdom of God. We know without a shadow of a doubt, according to all that is written and even testimonies of people who have died, gone to heaven, and returned to earth, that there is no poverty in heaven. We want to first understand what is poverty. Poverty is a general scarcity, dearth of the state of one who lacks a certain amount of material possessions or money. In other words, his material needs are not taken care of. He's operating in lack, insufficiency. That's what poverty is. But then Jesus in John 10:10 tells us that it is the enemy who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But he came that we may have life and that more abundantly. So as we are cultivating kingdom culture, we must be about the Father's business of eradicating poverty, because there is what? No poverty, no scarcity, no lack, no insufficiency in the kingdom of heaven. That goes without saying. Jesus demonstrated heaven and earth when he was in the wilderness with a group of people. And he said to his disciples, what are we going to do to feed them? And they said, well, we don't have enough money to buy enough food. And then somebody came up with a little boy's lunch and said, well, we have a little bit of a sandwich here with fish and loaves, but that's not enough to feed so many. Because their mentality was this world's mentality of scarcity, lack, and insufficiency. And so Jesus said, you are going to feed the poor or the hungry at the time. You're going to feed this great multitude. I'm going to teach you that you can tap into the resources of heaven when you are operating in that realm. You will find there is no lack or scarcity there. And so Jesus blessed these few little fishes and loaves of bread and fed 5,000 men besides women and children. So there was a multitude, more than 5,000, because we know in today's church we see more women in church than there are men. So multiply that about by 3 times and see what great multitude was in that wilderness being fed out of the lunch sack of a little boy, because Jesus dared to tap into the resources of heaven and cause heaven to come into the earth. Poverty is not the will of God. Amen to that. Poverty is not the will of God. Even here, when we are shifting and cultivating the kingdom culture, we cannot be satisfied with poverty as the norm. In many of our churches today, you go in and the people, you can see the spirit of poverty. You can see it on their countenance. You can see it in the way they carry themselves. You can literally see it in the offerings that go forth. You can see it in the way people receive an offering when they say, well, we don't have enough. We need $20 more, or we need $30 or $40 more. That is an indication of lack and insufficiency. And it really bothers me when that happens in the kingdom, in the church of the living God. And that, because I believe God, I believe his word, I believe that there is more than enough. I believe that we are a blessed people. I believe that we are the head and not the tail. I believe that Jesus has given us life and that more abundantly. I believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so then what we are experiencing is not the will of God for us when it comes to poverty. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. We're going to be using some of scriptures today. And 15 and 11 says, there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. Listen, there are circumstances and situations that cause people to fall from abundance into scarcity and lack. But in the kingdom of God, God is saying Israel is a prototype of the kingdom, and he's given this mandate saying, for there will always be the poor in your midst. The New American Standard Bible says, for the poor will never cease to be in the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy and poor in your land. Do you hear what God is saying? There is no excuse for poverty in the kingdom of God. That's Deuteronomy. We know that Moses was talking to the Israelites as they were about to go into the promised land, and they were about to have a land flowing with milk and honey. But how many of us know that sometimes, all the time, according to the word of God, there are going to be people in our midst who have little or nothing, and God through you is making provision for the poor. That's 15:11. Let's back up a little bit to Deuteronomy 15:7. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. This is an instruction, and God is teaching through Moses the children of Israel how to experience kingdom culture. If you are among those in the kingdom who have been blessed financially, you are blessed to be a blessing. You're not blessed to build bigger barns and greater storehouses and to just lay up store, but you are to become a wealth distribution center. Not you alone, but all those who have the ministry of giving. And if you have been blessed financially, I'm going to step out here on a limb and say you have been given the ministry of giving. Now, whether you embrace that ministry or not is totally up to you. But God is looking for people in the earth, in the kingdom, his children, who will open their hand and not be tight-fisted when the poor are in our midst. It says, but you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend him sufficient for his need in whatever he lacks. That is the plan of God, to eradicate poverty in the midst of his people. Proverbs 14:31. Do you see the gorilla in our midst? Is there someone in your midst today in the kingdom? Now, I'm talking first to kingdom dwellers. I know there's going to be people outside of the walls of the boundaries of the kingdom, but once we begin to flourish within the kingdom, then we're going to branch out and cause kingdom culture to spread throughout the land and the needy among us. Proverbs 14:31 says, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Did you hear that? Whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Amen. You will find this concept of kingdom culture all throughout the Bible. When we get into the New Testament, 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone with earthly possessions sees his brother in need, but withholds his compassion from him, how can the love of God abide in him? I don't know about you, but when I see the poor and the needy, my heart breaks and goes out to those who are in need. And it is the plan of God to prosper you so that you might be a warehouse where those who have a need can receive from the hand of God. Now, in the wilderness, when Moses was leading the people of God in the wilderness before they crossed over, yes, the hand of God dropped down manna from heaven to feed them, and the hand of God caused quail to come through when they cried out for meat. But now they're about to go into the promised land, into the land that God himself has said, I'm going to cause it to flow with milk and honey. Everything you touch is going to prosper. And Moses is giving the structure of kingdom dwelling. When you get over there, be sure you watch out for the poor. Be sure those who are grafted in, who are poor, you watch out for the poor. And remember on the day of Pentecost when the church was born, and in the first few chapters of the book of Acts, that there were widows, Greek widows, who came into the body of Christ, who became members of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of God. And the people were acting the same way in their new kingdom culture as they had acted before the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was the Jewish widows that were being taken care of, but the Greek widows were being left out. And they decided at that point that they had to restructure things in order to make sure the kingdom culture was for everyone. And this came, brought about the deacons and the ministry of the deacon in the church, so that all of the widows that were being nourished by the church would be nourished equally, that there would be no separation between Jew and Greek. So you see, God has already made a plan. He has a structure. He has a program in place to take care of the poor who are in our midst. And the most of the time in the days of Israel, the poor consisted of those who were halt or lame or had some infirmity, or the orphan and the widow. If a man was able-bodied, normally he had land of his own, he worked the land, and he traded the produce, and he prospered. And the poor were those who were weak and infirm, and the orphans and the widows. And it was the responsibility of the haves to take care of the have-nots. In today's society, especially in America, we elevate the haves and we ridicule the have-nots. And we, even in our election, in our government today, we talk about the poor and how they shouldn't be, how the poor shouldn't be leaning on the government for their sustenance, and how they need to get up and get a job. And you don't even really know the circumstances of why that person or people are poor or in lack or in insufficiency. But we do know that in the kingdom of God, when that happens, that we as the people of God are supposed to rush to their rescue. If the church was doing her job, then the government would not be oppressed with taxing the people who do have a job, or the rich, in this case in the middle class, wouldn't be taxed so greatly if the church were in a position to spread the wealth, to distribute the wealth among the poor and the needy in our land. This gorilla, this great problem and issue of poverty is on the church. It's not on the government. It's not on the welfare system. Church, this is our gorilla, and we have a responsibility to take care of the poor and needy in our midst. And that's just some of the scriptures in the Bible that are talking to us, to show us the way, to show us how the kingdom is supposed to be operating. In the Word of God in James, it tells us that those who are poor in the eyes of the world, God has caused them to be rich in faith. And what we need more than ever in the body of Christ is a people who are rich in faith. And because faith is what causes the will of God to be done in the earth. And so it behooves us to preach to the poor. When you look into Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, the same verse of scripture that Jesus read, I believe it was in Luke 4, when he went into the temple, he says that the Spirit of God has anointed me, is upon me, and he has sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's the first job of the church, is to preach the gospel to the poor. What are we doing? We are reaching out for everyone except the poor. We have taken on the same concept that, oh, they don't want to be saved. They just want to be drug dealers and gang bangers. No, they don't. Nobody wants to put their life in peril on a daily basis. But the problem in the room is not drug dealing and gang banging. The problem is the level of poverty and the feeling and the reality of scarcity and lack. And so whatever avenue is easiest to go through, systemically has been placed in those communities to keep the poor in bondage. You may believe it, you may receive it, or you may reject it, but poverty is a man-made problem, and it can be eradicated by the help of the same people that God created. He made you and me his ambassadors to the poor. Glory be to God. We're going to be running out of time here today, but that quote, I will try to see. If you are watching this later on, you will see it in the pictures that go by, that it was Nelson Mandela who explained to us more perfectly how poverty is a man-made issue. And many of the diseases that we see in life today are coming upon us. The information is being released that it's a man-made disease that has been cooked up in a laboratory, and quote unquote, somehow it gets out into the atmosphere. But listen, nevertheless, Church of the Living God, we have a responsibility as the people of God to eradicate the problem of poverty. And so today, I am praying and asking that you would have the heart, you would have the compassion within you to join us in our endeavor to eradicate poverty. That's the 800-pound gorilla in the room that nobody wants to talk about. We want to talk about love, and we want to talk about salvation, praise the Lord. But when you study that word salvation, it is total and complete. It means completely saved from everything that does not reflect the love of God for your life. And so poverty is the enemy of God. It is the enemy of heaven. It is the enemy of the kingdom. It is the gorilla in the midst of our room. And so today I'm praying and asking you to join me in a campaign to eradicate poverty, first in the kingdom, and then to cause that eradication to spread to the land, for the needy and the poor in the land. I am working right now with Prophetess Colette Margaret Williams out of Africa, a powerful ministry of God there. Miracles, signs, and wonders are flowing through the ministry there, and an outreach to the poor, to orphans and to widows, and then to those in the community who are less fortunate. And so I'm asking you today to join me. Let's join hands, Church of the Living God, and work together to eradicate poverty. If we all focus in one direction at one time, we can see a great influx of the power of God to change a culture and a community. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the body of Christ now. I pray that they would hear the word of the Lord. I pray that the Spirit of the Living God would open up their bowels of compassion, and that they would open up their hearts and their minds. And as Moses said to the children of God, when you see the poor and the needy in your midst, that you will be open-handed and not tight-fisted with them. This is my prayer for you today. In Jesus' name, I pray that the Father would bless the work of your hands so that you become a wealth distribution center. I pray that God would bless you with the ministry of giving. I pray that your life would be a channel of blessing for those less fortunate around you. This is my prayer for you today. And I will be posting a link at the bottom of our broadcast here. I would love for you to join us in Operation Save the Children. We've got just so much work there in Zimbabwe with the orphanages and the widows who are in need. But if all of the people of God who hear this broadcast would chip in and make a donation, you can make a world of difference in the lives of these poor children, these orphans. I remember when my father died, I was about 3 years old. But I still remember the day at the graveyard. I remember the rain. I remember the people talking around about me. And I felt something. I didn't understand what it was as a child. But all the days of my life, I yearned for my father. And then when I was 40-something, my mother passed away. And my devastation was great. It felt like I was totally lost in all the world. Though there were people around me, though I still had brothers and sisters, I felt such loss, and I felt alone in this world. And then 4 months later, my husband died, and I became a widow at a very young age. So here I am experiencing the loss of mother and father, the loss of husband, and I am catapulted now into the realm of insufficiency and lack, and I'm feeling what orphans and widows are feeling, and it's the burden of the Lord that God allowed me this privilege to enter into their walk, to walk in the shoes that they walk in, and to know what they go through. And so that's why today, brothers and sisters in the kingdom, I implore you to take a look at what we're doing in the work in Zimbabwe with Prophetess Colette Margaret Williams. You can connect with her on Facebook, Colette Margaret Williams, or you can connect on Facebook with Abraham's Bosom Reloaded. This is where you will find the work of missions on her page and Abraham's Bosom Reloaded. But we do have a campaign going right now to help bring finances to the work. It's Operation Save the Children, and you'll find the link at the end of this broadcast and beneath this broadcast in the comments if it's being viewed on Facebook. God bless you, and we love you. We're praying that God would prosper you today and always, that you may be a blessing, that you may be blessed to be a blessing in the kingdom and cause our kingdom culture to spread like wildfire. Be anointed today to preach the gospel to the poor. God bless you, and we love you, and thank you for listening.